I ask you to take your Bibles tonight, turn to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. And the title of tonight's message is What Sin Causes Us to Lose. What Sin Causes Us to Lose. You know, the old radio commentary, Paul Harvey, could tell a story like no one could tell a story. And you guys that have heard him before know that he'd always end the story, actually in the middle of the story, he would always say, and now the rest of the story. Well, in Genesis chapter 13, we have the story of Lot. I believe it's one of the saddest commentaries over a Christian in the Bible. About how Lot digressed, or we can even use the word backslide. And what all Lot lost because of his sin back in Genesis chapter 13. Now, in RU, we have 10 principles. And principle number 9 is probably one of my favorites. They're all great. But principle number 9 is probably one of my favorites. And principle number 9 says, we lose our freedom to choose when we give in to temptation and the consequences of our wrongdoings are inevitable, incalculable, and up to God. Now, if you stop thinking, just think about that for just a minute, that is a great two-point outline. And that's what I'm going to preach to you tonight. Principle number 9 in a two-point outline using the story of Lot. Let's look in Genesis chapter 13, and I want to begin in verse number 1 and read down to verse number 11. Genesis chapter 13, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says this, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where the tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And then notice in verse number 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Verse 11. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. I want you to notice in verse number 11, the Bible says, and Lot chose. And I want you to notice a very important word, because the Bible says the Lord chose him. Did you notice that? That means that he made the decision, but the decision had consequences. Not only for him, but the consequences for his wife, and for his daughters. Now, As I said before, this principle that we have in RU that says we lose our freedom to choose when we give in to temptation. You know, I really believe sometimes, folks, that we know that temptation is always there. But I think sometimes we give in to it not knowing that there are going to be consequences to it. Now think about that for a minute. How many times this week were you tempted maybe to have a sugar soda and you know you shouldn't have, but you did? And all of God's people said, amen. So we have these choices. Of course, they may not make a difference right now, but they may make a difference later when our blood sugar and our diabetes and all that stuff starts coming up and we start having some health problems. But we lose our freedom to choose when we give to temptation. Now, choices are important. And we need to make sure that we understand that with every choice comes a consequence. And that's exactly what happened to Lot. I remember a quote that I heard a long time ago that states this: life is not made up of what you want, but by the choices that you make. Life is not made up of what you want, but it's made up of the choices that you make. And when I think about the Bible character that lost their freedom to choose, when he gave into temptation, I think of Lot. Now, sometimes people make choices that at the time are not what we call momentous in themselves. I mean, they're just not great decisions in themselves at the time. But we know that they lead to tragedies. And we see this in the case of Lot here in Genesis chapter 13. Nobody could have predicted with Lot's choice that he was going to make the outcome of that. There's no way. Nobody knew that other than God. God knew. So the little decision that Lot made when he and Abram's herdsmen were having some issues amongst themselves, the decision that he made started a decision that was going to affect him and his family. Of course, as I said, the herdsmen Lot and Abram were quarreling because there wasn't adequate land to support all their flocks. So Abram called Lot and said, hey, you make the choice. You decide where you're going to go. Lot surveyed the land, and the Bible says, then Lot chose. Then Lot chose. Now, that choice was an important choice. It moved him down into a lush Jordan Valley. And that choice was the beginning of Lot's gradual but steady spiritual decline. Now, did you notice that, first of all, that Lot's choice involved sight? He looked, saw that the land was well watered, and it involved sight. Now, do you realize, folks, that the devil many times will tempt us by what we see? Why is it that the psalmist said in Psalm 101, verse number 3, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes? You see, sin, the devil wants to make things look good to us. You remember he says in 1 John about the love of the world, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Those are the things of the world. So the devil wants to make sure that, first of all, that it looks good. That it looks good. And many times we look at some, oh, that looks all right, but we really don't know the implications of what's going to happen. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I love fishing. I love fishing. My grandfather took me fishing all the time, and we'd go down to a little creek, and as a kid, we'd catch a little catfish or a little perch or something like that. Man, I just love fishing. I thought that was the greatest thing. Well, then I met Miss Nikki, and Miss Nikki's grandfather was an avid fisherman. And not only was he an avid fisherman, Nikki's grandfather had a boat. I had never been on a boat fishing, and that was one of the reasons I wanted to marry Miss Nikki. because her grandfather had a boat. And man, I tell you, the first few years that we got married, we had so much fun. We went down the coast, and I wouldn't catch a little bitty perch like that. I was catching redfish like that. And man, you're talking about fun. Those were a lot of fun. And then I got into bass fishing. Man, I love bass fishing, and I'm an avid bass fisherman. I love to get out. I can go out there all day, not get a thing, but just put that lure right there by the stumps and just wait for that big bass. But do you know what I try to catch fish with? A lure. And you know what the devil wants to do to you? He wants to allure you. Just like trying to catch a fish and hook that fish and jerk it in. Let me tell you something. The devil wants to allure you to get you to take the bait of temptation so that he can wreck your life, just like he did with Lot. A lure is designed by his name, a lure. It's designed to look attractive. It's designed to get attention. And listen, the world, the flesh, and the devil wants to allure you and get your attention to take the bait of temptation. That's what he did a lot. What does James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15 tell us? It tells us this, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, allured. But then lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and with sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Isn't that exactly what happened to Lot? Happened with his wife, didn't it? Sure did. The Bible says in Matthew 26, 31, watch and pray. He's saying, hey, be observant, watch, be alert. Because your adversary is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour, as 1 Peter 5:8 tells us. Watch and pray. I tell you, every morning when we get up and we start our day and our devotions and we spend time with the Lord, we need to pray the prayer, Lord, keep me from temptation today. Keep me from temptation. Protect me. Help me be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Help me to be ready to face temptation that comes, and let me say no to temptation. You know, some people simply drift through life. Their choices, when they can muster enough the will to choose, tend to follow the course of least resistance. Lot was such a person. Now, let me ask you today, are you drifting through life? I used this illustration the other day in RU. So many times in dealing with teenagers, and Brother Tony knows this, and I know Brother Bob knows this, and I don't know if you guys have noticed this. Yeah, I was a youth pastor for 35 years. Do you realize nearly all of your pastoral staff were youth pastors? Think about that, okay? But all the time when I was talking to teenagers, especially around their junior, senior year, I'd bring them into my office and say, hey, what do you think God's wanting you to do with your life? Now, I did not ask them what they wanted to do with their life. I always ask them, hey, what do you think God was wanting you to do? And this was the answer I'd get. I don't know. I don't know. Now, it wasn't always like that. I had some teenagers that, man, wanted to serve the Lord, wanted to go off to Bible college and do great things for the Lord. But so many times I'd have young people, I don't know. Why don't you know? I don't know. But listen, folks, I think sometimes we get busy and just drifting through life, just kind of going with the flow. And folks, let me tell you something. If we just go with the flow, we're going to go with the flow, and we're going to end up where we don't want to be. We got to remember that. You see, Lot did not develop a sense of purpose with his choices. His life was so caught up in the present moment that he was incapable of seeing the consequences of his actions. He didn't see what was down the road. Can I say that he got hooked? He got hooked. And it's hard to imagine what his life would have been like without Abram's attention and God's intervention. Now think about that for a minute. We know that God saved Abram once, or saved Lot once out of there. You see, choices often result in eternally significant consequences that we must choose in line with God's word. Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7 says this, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Now, hold on for a second. Did you hear what he said? Let me read that again. "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." What does that mean? That means before the judgment falls, when it's too late to seek him. Hey, listen, don't try to get right with God after the consequences have already started. Get right with God now. I have a very close personal friend of mine that are going through some marriage trouble right now. And they told me, I've talked to both he and his wife, soon to be former wife, ex-wife. And this is what he said to me. He said, "Earl, we've been having problems in our marriage for 20 years. And I said to him, "Why are you waiting till now to do something about it?" "Oh, it's just too late. It's just too late." And I said, "Listen, it's never too late." And what they end up doing here is that they didn't try to take care of the problems in their marriage back then, and they let it continue to grow and grow and grow and grow. And now the consequences and the circumstances are where it's, from all our point of view, it's hopeless. But I did tell him, in God's point of view, it's not hopeless. It's not. You know, many a child realizes it's too late and they're headed for a spanking, and they try to avoid the punishment by promising their parents that they'll do better later. Don't. Too late. Whack, whack, whack. Okay? All right? We must seek the Lord and his ways before he pulls the correction address to address the sin. And listen, seek the Lord while he is near. "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return in the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, he will abundantly pardon." Hey, listen, sin is always destructive. Repentance is always constructive. Did you get that? And no matter who we are, all of us have made choices in our life that have had consequences, some good and some not so good. Many of you tonight are living with consequences of what happened years ago. And I'm thankful for the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ, aren't you? But listen, that brings us to our second part of our principle. First principle was that we lose our freedom to choose when we give in to temptation. What I'm saying is, don't give in to temptation. Don't choose to give in to temptation. But secondly, the consequences of our choices are inevitable, incalculable, and up to God. Now listen, the choice belongs to you. The consequence belongs to God. The consequences of your choices are, quote unquote, the rest of the story. And this is a principle of sowing and reaping. You reap more than you sow. You reap later than you sow. And you'll reap more than you sow. And that's a principle of sowing and reaping. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, 8, you know the verse. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh..." Okay? Doing kind of what I want to do, doing kind of following how I feel, letting my emotions kind of run me, letting run my flesh run me. And by the way, your flesh wants to run you if you don't know that. Our flesh wants to be satisfied, right? Absolutely. For he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You see, in the Bible, God shows us the good, God shows us the bad, and God shows us the ugly. He shows us all of that. One reaps what he sows. One reaps more than he sows. One reaps later than he sows. As I said, being youth pastor as long as I was, I've seen many young people make choices that looked good at the time, but ended up costing them dearly. Costing them dearly. Why? Because they failed to realize that with a choice comes a consequence. Where there is a lure, there is a hook. You know, the road of choices is paved with good intentions. Well, I thought that was a good choice, Brother Earl. I thought it was a good choice. Well, let's go back to Lot for a second. If you look back at chapter 13 again, look at verse number 10. The Bible says, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, and as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou cometh unto Zoar." Did you notice? First, he looked toward Sodom. Then he moved his tents and longed near Sodom. In verse number 12, the Bible says, "And Abram dwelled in the land, and Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plains and pitched his tent." Hey, but let me just say this for a second. Let me just make a little sidebar here. Can I do this? Do you realize that when Abram and Lot made this decision, and Abram says, "Hey, wherever you go, I'll take what's left." We know that Lot looked towards Sodom. It was well watered. It was beautiful. It was good in sight to the eyes. Now, let's flip that for a second. What if Lot would have chose to go the other way? Now, think about that. What if he would have chose to go the other way? Now, listen, this wasn't a decision about geography. Okay? It was a decision of where he wanted to grow. And what I mean by that is that Abram was going to do right wherever he went. He wasn't going to go to Sodom. All right? But he was going to make a right decision to please the Lord and to live for the Lord and live by faith. That was what he was going to do. And that's exactly what he did. We know Lot decided, he chose what looked good. And then the Bible says in verse number 10, he longed in verse number 12, and then we find him living in Sodom in verse number 12. And then we could go over chapter 19, and he was in leadership at the gate of Sodom, which means he was a city official. And then we finally see his loss later on in the chapter of chapter 19. He lost his wife. He barely escaped with his own life and his two daughters, and he goes off the Old Testament page hiding in a cave where his two daughters made him drunk and committed incest with him. What did Lot do? He took the bait. The offspring, of course, of those disgraceful nights with his daughters were the Moabites and the Ammonites, two of Israel's perennial enemies. And it all began with Lot's choice to live near and in Sodom. Now let me say this. Instead of looking upon the plains of Jordan, this is good. Ready? Don't miss this. Instead of looking at the plains of Jordan, you know what Lot should have done? He should have looked up to the Lord. You see, he got his eyes off the Lord and got them on circumstances. He said, he didn't ask the Lord, "Lord, what should I do?" Lot did. "You know what? I think I want to do this." And that choice ended up costing much, much. Lot made a wrong choice that ended in dreadful consequences. And the Bible would call him a carnal Christian. If we didn't know the end story of where the Bible says that God delivered just Lot, then we would think that Lot was not a believer. We never would have known that. Because his life was so dreadful with this choice, those dreadful consequences, that as Peter says, that Lot was called just and righteous. But everything we see from Genesis 13 and 14 and Genesis chapter 19 would show us that he was a carnal Christian. Now, what is a carnal Christian? Carnal Christian is very simply this: someone who professes the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone who professes the Lord Jesus Christ, but doesn't live for Jesus Christ. That's what a carnal Christian is. Psalm chapter 12, Psalm 121, verse 2 says, "My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." Joshua tells us about choices and Joshua 24, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you're going to serve, whether the gods of your fathers serveth that were on the other side of the flood, or the god of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Have you made that decision? "As for me and my house, choose you this day." Guys, listen, did you realize he didn't say choose you this year? He didn't say choose you this week. He didn't say choose you later. He said choose you this day. Why? Because it's a choice that we have to make every day of our life. It's a choice that we have to make every morning we get up. Who are we going to live for? Are we going to keep our eyes on the world? Are we going to keep our eyes on Jesus? Because that really is a choice that we have. Deuteronomy 30 tells us, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life." That reminds me of John 14. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." Folks, listen, you haven't begun to love life or live life until you begin to know Christ. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. What is your direction in life tonight? Have you gotten maybe off track a little bit? Have you just kept your eyes on the things of the world, of what's going on? And let me tell you something. Right now, it's so easy to do with so many things going on. With the coronavirus, with politics. I'm telling you, man, you listen to talk radio or you listen to the news and all of a sudden your spiritual energy just goes... That's the way it's been for me. And I've just had to distance myself from that and say, I've been doing a lot of reading on revivals and how the Hebrides revivals and the Denver revival of 1905 that lasted a month. 25,000 people received the Lord Jesus Christ that day, during that month. And they were having three services a day, and some services were lasting, listen to me, till 6 o'clock in the morning. And I desire God to do something in my life, and I want God to do something in our church's life. But one thing we've got to do, and we've got to remember, we can't succumb to temptation, because the devil wants us to be tempted. He wants to bring the hook in. He wants to set that hook. What type of choices are you making tonight? If you're a drifter, The choices for God may seem difficult, but it is one choice that puts all other choice in a different light. We lose our freedom to choose when we give in to temptation. And the consequences of our wrongdoings, they are inevitable. God's not going to let us get away with sin. They're incalculable. We don't know how much we're going to have to pay for those choices. And they're up to God. How about tonight, just claim 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't wait. Don't wait. Get it right today. Let's bow our head. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there some sin in your life that may be hindering the Lord tonight working in your life? Fathers, there may be some sin in your life that are maybe, like Lot, is going to hinder your family unless you get it right. We as men are the spiritual leaders of our home. It's our responsibility to lead our families. Are you drifting tonight? Having your eyes totally on the world? Could I encourage you tonight to get your eyes back on Jesus? Do you have a sense of revival in your heart? Do you really want to see God do something in our church? Do you really want to see God do something in your own life? It starts by confession. Father, we thank you so much for the message tonight. I pray it's been a help and encouragement. It's been a good reminder for me as I was studying it. Pray that we'd be honest with God tonight. More importantly, we'd be honest with ourselves. Lord, we'd stop drifting. We'd stop doubting. That we'd begin realizing there are consequences to our sin. Help us not be like Lot and be a carnal Christian. Help us to be like Abraham and make the right choice no matter what the choice is. Lord, we'll honor and praise you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen.